Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. God is good, and his mercy endures forever at all times. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. And the title for today's word is simply this: launch out into the deep and let down your net or I can't. Going to work. We have got to go to work. And the way we go to work as fishermen of men is to launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. But we need to catch some fish. Hallelujah. We need to be fishermen of men. We got to throw it out, launch out into the deep, let down our nets for a catch. Hallelujah. Are you catching any fish this morning? Are you catching any fish in your ministry? Are you catching any fish? Hallelujah. I am grateful today to be wakened by the Lord. I am grateful today to be a child of the Most High God. So let's get started this morning. And our word says this. Let us pray. Excuse me. Father God in heaven, I am so grateful to be called a child of God. So grateful that you woke me up this morning. Clothe in my right mind with my thoughts stayed on you. And a glorious day. The glorious day of your resurrection, Jesus, Savior. For going to Calvary for me. For dying on the cross for my sins. Living, you love me. Dying, you saved me. Buried, you carried my sins far away. Rising, you justified freely forever. One day, you're coming back. What a glorious day. Father God, I thank you for your son you have made. I thank you, Lord, for giving me breath in my body. Limbs to walk, a mouth to speak, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a soul ready and open to receive more of you. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Fill me up, Father God. Let the words I speak what you tell me, not what I want. Remove all flesh, Lord God, and replace it with your spirit, that I will speak what you say, do what you say, and follow you on the path of righteousness. In the precious and holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord God, this morning, thanking you in advance that this word will touch someone's heart, someone's mind, and someone's spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Honor to the Savior. As we continue in this third day of Holy Week, started Sunday, Palm Sunday, as we continue on this Tuesday morning, in this week, that we know will end with the sacrifice of our Savior. It will end with the sacrifice of our Savior. But then guess what? Next week begins with his resurrection. So all I can say is for your son, for our Savior. Hallelujah. So are y'all ready to launch this morning and throw your nets into the deep? Well, we're going to start in our Old Testament word. Moses is, as the kids used to say back in my day, dropping knowledge. He is like, he is telling everybody what they got to do, what they need to do, how they need to act in relationship. Moses don't play. He don't play. He tells it like it is, and like it is, it is. You can take it or you can leave it, but he's going to tell you the truth. And so let's get into the word of Moses this morning. We are almost through his books, through the books of the law. And I'm sitting here, it's like when you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, it's like a warm blanket. And you just kind of cover up in it because it gives you a foundation of living. It really gives you a foundation for living. And you just feel comfortable through it. When you get to Deuteronomy, you are comfortable with Moses. You just, he's like a dad. He's like, you know, a father who's going to tell you like it is and will spank you when you don't do right. He will tap a hand. And he will sacrifice everything for you. And Moses did. He sacrificed everything for the children of Israel, including his place in the promised land. Because parents get frustrated when they have disobedient children, that they might have a moment. But Moses' moment cost him the promised land. So let's read. Anyone is found slain lying in the field in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess, and is not your, and is not known who killed him, then your elders and your judges shall go out and measure the distance from the slain man to the surrounding city. And we are coming this morning out of Deuteronomy chapter 21 to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 30. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. Why? Because I love King James. But I like New King James because it breaks it down a little easier without the thems, the thous, and all those more complicated understanding, because you get so caught up in the thems and the thous that you miss the understanding of the word that you're trying to read. At least I do. I'm not going to talk for anybody else. So God, I feel like God gave me New King James because he knows I love the word. And I love reading it. And I love reading it to you, to those that are shut in, to those that just may need a word as they're driving into work. So I thank you for tuning in with me this morning. Don't have any commentary today. We're just going to get into the word and continue. And it talks about they measured to the surrounding cities. And it says, and it shall be that the elders of the city nearest to the slain man will take a heifer, which has not been worked and which is not pulled with the yoke, The elders of the city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with flowing water, which is neither plowed nor sown. They shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. Then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. The Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of the Lord by their word every controversy. Every assault shall be settled, and all the elders of the city nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Remember, just put a pin right there. When Pilate took the basin and washed his hands, and he says that he was washing his hands because he didn't want to have anything to do with the death of Jesus. He washed his hands of this. And note what happened here. Our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Provide atonement, O Lord Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel. An atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. So you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. They wash the hands of the situation. It says, when you go out to war against your enemies and the Lord your God delivers them into your hand and you take them captive and you see among the captives a beautiful woman and desire her and would take her for your wife, then you shall bring her home to your house and she shall shave her head and trim her nails. She shall put off the clothes of her captivity, remain in your house, and mourn her father and her mother a full month. After that, you may go into her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. And it shall be, if you have no delight in her, then you shall set her free, but you certainly shall not sell her for money. You shall not treat her, excuse me, y'all, brutally, because you have humbled her. If a man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have borne him children, both the loved and the unloved, and if the firstborn son is of her who is unloved, then it shall be on the day he bequeaths his possession to his sons that he must not be so firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved, the true firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. Did y'all catch that? What happened to our Savior? He was hanged on a tree. And in the word of God, Jesus was accursed for us. He took all of our awful sins on the cross. Everything thought and unthought, seen and unseen, he took to the cross. and because of it, he was accursed. Because of us. And he was buried that same day. What did the word of God say? If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree. But you shall surely bury him that day so that you do not defile the land. Not defile the land. Which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. But he who is hanged is accursed of God. And as Dr. Stanley says in the life lesson, when Jesus hung on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, he became a curse for us. In fulfillment of this verse, Galatians 3:13, how amazing that God can use even his curses for our blessings. And we're going to go over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. God uses everything for a purpose and a reason because he's that kind of God. He loved us enough to accurse his son who did nothing but come into this world for us. We are blessed beyond measure. And this is the word that God said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. And we know where it comes from. It comes from the book of the law, a word from Moses. Jesus said, I didn't come to change the law. Are the statutes. And I'm paraphrasing. I came to fulfill it. He took our sins to the cross. Paul said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. And as we continue in chapter 22 of Deuteronomy, you shall not see your brother's ox or sheep going astray and hide yourself from them. You shall certainly bring them back to your brother. And if your brother is not near you or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it to your own house and it shall remain with you until your brother seeks it. Then you shall restore it to him. You shall do the same with his donkey. And so shall you do with his garment, with any lost thing of your brother's, which he has lost and you have found, you shall do likewise. You must not hide yourself. You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fall down along the road and hide yourself from them. You shall surely help him lift them up again. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man. Nor shall a man put on woman's garments, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. Wow. That's something to think about, isn't it? For us ladies that like to wear jeans and pants and throw on a pantsuit. Or to those out there that like to wear women's clothing. A man shall not wear anything that pertains to a man. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on women's garments, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord. I don't want to be an abomination to God. We have to truly read this word, and we have to thank God daily for Jesus because he's already taken all these curses to the cross. He's already taken our sins to the cross. And the word says, if a bird nest happens to be before you along the way in any tree or on the ground where young ones are eggs, with the mother sitting on the young one, on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall surely let the mother go and take the young for yourself, that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days. When you build a new house, then you shall make a parapet for your roof, that you may not bring guilt or bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. Wow, things we don't do. But now you understand why it seems like there's these rooms with parapets all around them in certain places in the Middle East. Comes from the Word of God. And it goes on. You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seeds, lest they yield a seed which you have sown, and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. You shall not plow an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together. You shall make tassels on the four corners of the clothing with which you cover yourself. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and detests her and charges her with shameful conduct and brings a bad name on her and says, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found she was not a virgin, then the father or the mother of the young woman shall take and bring out the evidence of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. And the young woman's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man as wife, and he detests her. Now he has charged her with shameful conduct, saying, I found your daughter was not a virgin. And yet these are the evidence of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Then the elders of the city shall take the man and punish him. And they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name on a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He cannot divorce her all his days. But if the thing is true, and evidence of virginity are not found for the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel to play the harlot in her father's house. So you shall put away the evil from among you. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man that lay with the woman and the woman, so she shall be put away evil from Israel. Now I want to read that again. Because if a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. And that's what it said. Now, do you remember the woman caught in adultery? And they brought her to Jesus because they was getting ready to kill her. And they wanted to try to trap him. And so they was going to get her. But no, any of y'all remember in the Word where it says they brought a woman and a man to Jesus who were caught in the act of adultery? A woman, but never did they say about the man. So they were going to stone the woman, but not the man. But when you go to the book of the law, it says if a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man shall lie that lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall put away the evil from Israel. So as they were getting ready to cast those stones at her, where was the man? Because they said she was caught in the act of adultery. That's something to think about. They was going to kill her, but leave him. But you have to do both in order so you shall put away the evil from Israel. And that's why Jesus said he was without sin. Cast the first stone. We got to understand the Word of God. Conundrum. It can be a conundrum where you don't know left from right, right from left, because it may contradict. But when you get it all together, it is very true and it's very reasonable and it makes a lot of sense. And then it goes on to say, if a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to her husband and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out of the gate of the city, and you shall stone them to death with stones, the young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife. So you shall put away the evil from among you. Wow. If a man finds a betrothed young woman in the countryside, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving of death. For just as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even found her in the countryside, and the betrothed young woman cried out, but there was no one to save her. If a man finds a young woman who is a virgin, who is not betrothed, and he seizes her and lies with her, and they are found out, then the man who lay with her shall give to the young woman's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has humbled her. He shall not be permitted to divorce her all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, not uncover his father's bed. In other words, no incest. No dipping and diving with your stepmama or your stepson. You know, the word of God has some stuff in it that you're like, oh my. You know, because, you know, some folks have delicate ears and it shall set you free. You know, everything in this word, for our modern ears are like, okay, I'm going to wear my pants. You know, I'm going to cut my hair short. I'm going to wear my hair long. I was watching the basketball games, the championships going toward the Final Four. And some of the hairdos of these young men and young women playing are like, okay. Especially the young men, you're like, stay in that hairdo. You know, yesterday a young man had his hair in two braids. It was different. Another one had a helter-skelter do. I cannot tell you. You know, and I go back to my day where everybody, you know, your hair was cut short at one point, and then we got the power, and everybody started wearing the afros. You know, you had the curly fro, you had the Jerry curl, you had, you know, the fight the power big afro that went from shoulder to shoulder. You know, and now all those styles are starting to come back. We had the braids, you know, we had the ponytail, we had the Native American look of the two braids parted down, your hair parted down the middle with the two braids hanging down and the headband on. We thought it was too cute for that. You know, with your bell bottoms and your fringed outfits. You know, we went through some stuff. But the bottom line is we got to go back to the Word of God. And I know why there are certain cultures and certain denominations where the women wear dresses all the time. They would never be caught in a pair of slacks, ever, because they take this word at its root. Do not wear slacks at all. A man would rather die than be caught in anything that looked feminine. Word of God. But we don't wear tassels on our clothes. And I'm sure that there is some designer that's mixed fabrics. But when it comes to the morality of husbands and wives and rape in the word, what should and should not happen? We got to understand the word of God is true. And as we go into our Psalms word today, you know, the title that Dr. Stanley gave this section is Keep It Real, from verses 9 through 10. Keep it real. So let's see what we're keeping real. And it says this, Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sign is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the delight of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear, and in those and whose mouth is no response. For you, O Lord, I hope you will hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sins. But my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong. And those who hate me wrongfully are multiplied. Those who evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, of my salvation. David was going through. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He says, sometimes it's difficult to be real with people. You don't know how they'll act to what you share with them. Will they be shocked by your admissions? Will they reject or mock you? Will they betray your secrets to others? If you've been hurt, it can become harder and harder to reveal your heart. Yet you can always be open with God, because he knows the unsugar-coated truth. All your hopes, dreams, fears, wounds, insecurities, transgressions, faults, all of it. King David writes, Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sign is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. Psalms 38, verses 9 through 10. Friend, God knows you, and he knows what is going on in your right now, in you right now. As you read this devotion, whatever it is, perhaps you can't share it with others. Now, I say to you, as you listen to this devotional, whether it's because they just can't understand the stress of your situation because you don't want to burden them with your troubles, or because you're simply too uncomfortable to share it, you're carrying it alone when you don't have to. Look around and I think, Lord, am I carrying some burdens alone? And I know I am, except for the love of Jesus. We can all drown in our situation. We got to call on the name of the Lord. Lord, help me, because I can't do it by myself. Help me, Jesus. And then it goes on to say, realize that God loves and accepts you no matter what is going on with you. He wants an intimate relationship with you, which means he is eager to show you his presence, power, conditional love in the most difficult circumstances of your life. Whatever it is that is burdening your heart, give it to God. He already understands your pain and knows how to heal it. Open your heart to him, confide in him, and trust him with your most profound thoughts and feelings. You'll see that the Savior of your soul is also the dearest friend you'll ever know. Even when you think you're by yourself, family, know that you're not. God is always there with you. He already knows everything about you. He already knows what you did when you was in the fourth grade. He already knows what you did when you was in kindergarten. He already knows what you did when you was in college. He knows what you did when you was theology and seminary. He knows what you did in everything. He knows when you took that E-pen from work and meant to bring it back, but you liked the way it wrote and kept it. He knows when you took the notepads and the staple and the paper clip and whatever else you thought was not a big deal, but was stealing. The Lord knows everything about us. Everything. He knows when you cried in the middle of the night because you miss your mom or you miss your dad that is gone on, or you miss your husband or your child or grandchild or someone in your life, a friend that is gone to be with the Lord. He knows everything about you. You can't hide from God anything. Your thoughts, your words, your feelings. In the flesh, you can't hide it from God. Dearest friend, and you can confess anything to him. And you can ask him for forgiveness. And he will forgive you. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 26 through 28. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. You can't go down to Boo Boo and Nim's house down the street. You can't be hanging out down the street when you say you are a Christian, when you say you love the Lord, but you want to hang out with the bad guys. You want to hang out over Boo Boo, your baby daddy. And you're trying to get him back. We got to stop running after the boo-boos because they are not good for you. The way of the wicked leads them astray. We got to understand you can't hang with everybody. You can't be a teenager in the club that you went to with somebody that's too old to be with you. One thing, you know, and don't be ashamed. If somebody call you goody two-shoes, wear your shoes with pride. Wear your goody two-shoes with pride because you will not be the one pregnant at 13. You will not be the one on drugs, 12. You won't be out there in the field smoking cigarettes or something else. Be your goody two-shoes. Wear your shoes with pride. If folks talking about you, don't worry about it. Leave it in the hands of God and keep on doing your assignment. And if you were the one that was out there in the field at 10 smoking a cigarette, if you were the one that was pregnant at 13, if you was the one that was chasing after boo-boo but got saved and said, uh-uh, not for me. Don't let anybody throw it in your face that you, oh, well, you know you got a baby by boo-boo. So I do. So he is my child's father. That don't mean I'm chasing after him. God has bought me a godly man who loves me and boo-boo's child, who cares about me. Because remember, boo-boo said he wasn't the baby daddy because he knew he was too old to be messing around with me. Come on now. You got to call it like it is. Too many times we cover up things that are wrong in our communities. We cover up how young women are being vilified and tore down when they are not the ones that did the thing. We got to start lifting each other up and not throwing somebody's past in their face. A woman of God is a woman of God. I don't care how many kids she has and how many daddies there are. When she gave her life to the Lord, she became a new woman, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And all of those children became one under one father, which is God. So don't quit vilifying folks. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but God put that in my spirit to speak for those like the ones that they say out in the field who's crying for help. We've got to start lifting up our young women, lifting up our young men, lifting up those that are in need of guidance instead of tearing down. We tear our children down because they're bolder than we are, and they speak their truth, whether we like it or not. We got to start opening our hearts, opening our church doors, and leading those that don't know the Lord to him. For we are in a season where the ocean is full. We got to launch our net into the deep. It's time to catch some fish, y'all. It's time to do our jobs. And this is what the word of God says. The lazy man does not roast what he took in honey, but diligence is man's precious possession. In the way of right life and in his pathway, there is no death. Righteousness, I'm going to say it again, it's a highlightable. In the way of righteousness is life. And in the pathway, and in its pathway, there is no death. Hallelujah. And our word for this morning and the title for our word is this. From Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. And I said this morning, and it is a good word today. It is actually a great word today. God is in charge, and he is. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, then, Luke is breaking it down, because in Matthew it says that he saw the sons of Zebedee and Simon Peter and just called them and they followed. But now you understand there was a lesson involved in the following. When he took them back out into the deep and they cast their nets, and he said, let's keep going, and I'm going to tell you this. He said this. And it happened when he was in a certain city. He said, I love it. Let me go back one scripture back. I'm going to go back up to verse number 9. I want to read that one more time because I want us to catch it. Catch what I'm saying. When he told him, he said, go launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch, for verse 4. But then when we get to verse 9, because Peter's like, hey, wait a minute. He told me to go out, and I was like not wanting to go out. But when I went out, I found out, wow, I caught more fish because I listened to Jesus. And this is what Jesus said to them. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. was like a miracle. And then in verse 10, it said, and so also were James and John. So note, whenever Jesus went anywhere, who did he took? Peter, James, and John. Because they were the ones that he took. They were the ones that he said. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. We got to launch out to into the deep, family. We got to launch out into the deep because we got to be fishermen of men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed immediately. The leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him, all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus prayed. We must pray. And life lessons from this word for this morning. Luke chapter 5, verse 11. When they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. The particulars of what Jesus required of his disciples varied tremendously. But all followers, he demands total allegiance. We must be Lord of all, not merely one significant voice among many others. He must be Lord of all, not merely one significant voice among many others. We got our nets and follow Jesus. And we got to launch out into the deep. Luke chapter 5, verse 13. He put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus did not have to touch people to cure them, but he made a point of touching the leper, a man no one dared to touch. Jesus always gives us exactly what we need. Always. He healed the leopard to the wilderness and prayed. Jesus cherished his time alone with his Heavenly Father. As our example, he shows us that one of us can afford to skimp on our devotional time with God. We were made for this. We got to take time out like you are doing today for this devotional, for this word of God. By the end of this year, we will have read Genesis to Revelations. Genesis verse 1, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 22, verse 22. We will have read this entire word of God. 21. And the word of God ends with, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. If there's anyone that has a word this morning, push the number 1. If not, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And then we are wrapping it up. Because why? We got to do some net throwing today. We got to go out into the deep, our net. And this is what our sister in Christ had to say this morning. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday. What did Peter, James, and John come back without any fish because they couldn't catch anything? And Jesus said, "Let's go back out. Let's launch into the deep. And they're like, oh, okay, we didn't get none. And then what happened? So many fish, they had to call others to help. And Peter repented immediately. And when we sin and when we are unsure and unfaithful to God, we must do what? Repent immediately. Family, this is all I have this morning. I thank you all for listening in. I ask God to continue to watch over you, and as we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray over you and yours. And as John said in the book of Revelation, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I say, it is a wrap, family. And I thank each and every one of you for joining me this morning out of your busy sleep schedule, because I know myself, if it was just me, I would be knocked out right now. But instead, I'm doing my devotional with you. And I thank God for all of you. I thank God that you tuned in this morning. And for those that come in late, all you need to do is to go to blogtalkradio.com and type in Moving Forward with Minister Bridget, and you can listen to any blog that I have done, which is a lot, probably over 4,000 in 5 years, somewhere in there. Thanking God for each of you, for just being wonderful people of God. Thank you so much for listening in. And as we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap, family. Love abides over each and every one of you. And as, again, I got to go back to that revelation word because it's permeating my spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And family, it is a wrap.